This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Happy Open Line Thursday. We are the Junks. We're coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you are looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com. They have all the information you need there. You got a three-man junk show today on a Commanders game day. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes is where you find me on the Twitter. I'm joined by John Paul Flame Mac.
Already put up the Junkies poll of the day presented by Scotty's Vodka. Maryland made super smooth love throughout the DMV. Who wins? It's that simple. Who wins tonight?
Good one.
Where do you think the majority of the folks are voting right now?
How long has the poll been up? It can't have been up.
Put it up last night.
Oh, last night. Okay.
Put it up last night. It's got about 626 votes.
I mean, it's a very pro Commanders lean. Generally, I'm going to say 63% are picking the Commanders.
Pretty close. 57% on Twitter. I also put it up on our Instagram. Give us a follow there at Sports Junkies Radio. I think it was about 62%.
Very good.
Commanders.
Got it. Eric Bickle also here.
Good morning. Yeah, I was going to wear my Jaden jersey, my new...
snoozed on it.
My black Jaden jersey. I actually had it laid out. I'm that guy that I kind of have to lay my clothes out in advance the night before, especially if I'm playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't forget.
Yeah.
But the Jaden jersey, I put it next to my bed, but I just got up in a fog and I didn't see it.
I don't
turn the light on.
Yeah, sure. You missed
it. Damn
it. It's okay. You know what? If they win, wear it tomorrow.
I'll be in New York.
Ah, okay. Well, wear it in New York on a Victory Friday, if that's the case.
I could potentially. I think I'm doing the show remotely. I got to make sure the Comrex is working.
Ah, very good.
But I went to bed last night. I went to take a shower around 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and I laid in my bed and just was on my phone. And I just said, you know what? I'm staying here. I just took my towel off. I went and put my T-shirt on or whatever. I just went to bed at 8 o'clock last night.
Nice.
Oh, man. Look at you.
Now, I did wake up at 11.
Yeah.
My son had a hard time getting back in the house. He went to a buddy's last night. And you know how, I don't know if this happens to you guys, but the garage door opener, the buttons weren't working well when it's cold.
Mm.
So you had to call and wake us up to
gotta
let him in.
Got to give him a clicker.
Huh?
Got to give him a clicker.
Yeah, we don't really use the clicker. We just park and then punch in the number.
Much easier just to press a button.
Yeah. We should have.
That's the lazy man's way, but it's
8 o'clock, though. That's impressive. I was feeling good about myself.
Maybe years.
Now, the night before, I stayed up till 1 a.m. And when you wake up at 4:30, that's going to pummel you.
Of course.
So I was working on 3.5 hours of sleep. Didn't get much of a nap yesterday. So last night, I was watching both the Wizards and the Caps on Monumental, the home of the Junkies as well.
It is, yes.
Cakes botched it. He said he couldn't find the Caps game.
Because I did botch it. Here's why.
Two different Monumental networks
here's
going.
Here's exactly why. Because I generally will check the Caps on ESPN.com, like the scores, because it tells you where it's being aired. Because sometimes, like, my mom wants to watch. She lives in Alabama. She can only get, like, the national games. So I was checking to see if there's a national game.
Oh, is she a big Caps fan?
Yeah, she. I mean, she roots for the Caps.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So she'll watch them when it's available.
So all these years, she's been watching.
I mean, I have no idea. I think it's sporadic. She's not. She's checking in. She's not watching like every
game.
But
she's interested.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Like if a game's on ESPN or TNT or ABC, she can watch it.
Right.
If it's on Monumental or ESPN Plus, she's pretty much boned.
Right.
So I was checking that, and then I saw everybody tweeting about how it was blacked out on ESPN Plus, uh-huh. and my stupid brain just didn't think about it. And then I did click on Monumental. I was like, oh, the game's actually on Monumental. But then I saw my guy Koulibaly playing the Spurs, so I went to and watched some of the Spurs Wizards.
You're a little conflicted.
I was conflicted last night.
So
yeah.
Anyway, I'm watching both of them last mm-hmm. night, and the Caps got up 3-1.
Yeah.
Their first line has been great. I think that was Protas that scored.
Mm-hmm. So Strom and Ovechkin, they're just piling up points. That's all right. They do.
So they're up 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on the Wizards game. It's the first half. It's a high-scoring affair.
Yeah.
Wemby's going off. He ended up with 50. And I did like EB. I ended up shutting it down at like 9:30. So I didn't see the comeback.
I learned last night that Chris Paul's now a member of the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, who would
that
know?
That caught me by surprise that he's now plying his trade in San Antonio.
Spurs also don't have their head coach. Greg Popovich suffered a stroke.
That's scary news.
So,
sounded like they described it as a mild stroke.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, you want zero strokes, but if you're going to get one, a mild one is better than a severe stroke,
I suppose.
Obviously. Yeah. I mean, so, like I said, I prefaced it by never want one.
Right.
So you were watching the Wizards
for
the most part, mm-hmm. and your boy Koulibaly has been off to a pretty good start this season. I think he's averaging right around 16, 17 points a game. Yesterday, though, you have the dichotomy of they almost landed Victor Wembanyama in the draft, right?
They
it's
were
not
one,
ping
like,
pong balls. It's one number.
They were like one number off in like a four number sequence. Like they were, they were so close. Couldn't land him.
Instead, they got his French teammate, Koulibaly, who, again, nice second season, but he's not Victor Wembanyama, who put up 50.
No. Victor had 50, and Bilal had 6.
Hey, look at Jordan Poole with 42, trying to keep pace.
Wow.
Yeah, last night was a big night in the NBA, like scoring, scoring explosions.
Mm-hmm.
I think Giannis finished with 59 last night. LeBron became the oldest player in the NBA to have a triple-double, or maybe it's three straight triple-doubles. I mean, he just sets records all the time. You can't keep up with it, but he's still playing well. But back to the Wizards, every year, and EB brings this up more than anybody, they talk about defensive focus.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be our number one thing.
Well, also, go look at their record playing in San Antonio, like over the last, I want to say it's like 25-ish years. They just never win games there. Even when the Spurs are down and when they're bad, they just generally get their ass.
Well, if you're going 25 years, you're going back to like David Robinson, Tim Duncan years.
So I'm saying, like they've historically
Ginobili,
dropped a lot of games.
Tony Parker, they just lose all the time.
Not been good for them.
Yeah,
not a good road trip there.
It's funny, man. I like Alexander Sarr. When we had him on the show, he was great. I mean, just a nice, laid back guy. Mike Marr shoots better from three than he does.
Mike Marr, you're catching strays over there, buddy.
16%. I like his technique. I know. I think that was
your major selling point for Alex Sarr, that you liked his 3-point shot.
No, I do. I like his technique. I think he'll figure it out. But he's literally hitting 16%. He was 0-for-5 last night.
It's not close.
I like the fact that he's not shy.
I saw him jack one up yesterday, wide open 3-2.
Yeah,
and it hit. It did hit the rim, mm-hmm. but it was way off to the side. It was almost a wedgie. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's hard to describe.
No,
like, it was backboard. It was such a bad shot.
I
will say, watching him, look, he finished 6-for-14 from the field. He's got a nice jump hook. If he gets, around the basket, he's got a nice little jump hook.
He did dunk to the – they were hyping up, he dunked on Wembanyama. He kind of dunked to the side of Wemby, but – he did.
We'll take it.
He did go down the lane, and Wemby was near him, and he dunked the ball, so I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, he had 12 points. 26 minutes.
I know it's a bygone era, but could you imagine 20 years ago a guy shooting 16%, shooting 5 threes in a game? How no. quickly would he be at the 15th man on the bench?
Oh yeah, it'd be so benched.
But they don't even care.
Nailed to the bench.
They don't even care. It is kind of crazy to me, but I do think he has nice technique, and it's just something he has to rep out, and he's clearly going to rep him out in game, I guess. But whatever.
So the Wizards' defense right now, EB.
Yeah, what are they giving up a game?
They're giving up 123.4 points per game.
Right.
Defensive focus, right? We talked to the coach.
Baby. Yeah. Let's go.
He's supposedly a defensive guy, right?
30th in the NBA.
EB, this is all part of the plan. This is the plan.
They're dead last.
Develop the young guys, let them get a lot of run, and lose a lot of games in the process.
I guess.
It's working out perfectly.
I never seen a guy so happy to lose like you. You just love losing.
Again. I don't love the short-term losing. It sucks. But it's the promise of something better on the other end.
The hope.
That I'm clinging to it.
I would use a different word. The hope of something better.
Yeah.
Their point differential.
The promise sounds like it's like...
A guaranteed.
Yeah, okay. Hope.
The
that
hope
might work
of
better. But
better.
Yeah, sure.
Their
yeah.
point differential, second worst in the NBA. Average game, they get outscored by 13.2 points per game. Mm-hmm. But... Last night, Wembanyama goes for 50, and they give up 139 points.
Mm.
Oh, well. It's modern NBA. There's more scoring. Yeah. We understand that.
Yeah,
but man,
I don't even know what's leading the like. Who's got the Knicks? I mean, is Thibodeau up there? I mean, Thibodeau
in terms
coaches
of the lowest scoring teams.
Yeah. No, defense.
Yeah, yeah.
The best defensive teams in terms of points allowed.
Orlando right now and Oklahoma City. They give up 103.8.
Where are the Knicks? I feel like Thibodeau should be up there. He's usually pretty defensive-oriented.
Yeah, they're giving up 111. In the Eastern Conference, that's fifth.
Mm.
They're not off to a great start right now. They're 5-6. So
mm-hmm.
Cakes, you know. For a dollar.
Yeah.
Within two, how many three-pointers do the Celtics shoot a game?
Ooh.
How many do the Celtics shoot per game within two? I mean, it's got to be an outrageous number. 27 three-pointers per game.
27. They lead the NBA in three-pointers shot per game?
Yeah.
50.
50 per game is what they're averaging?
I was going to guess 37, 38.
Man. Wizards shoot 38, and they're like run-of-the-mill.
Mm-hmm. I thought 27 sounded like a lot.
You can't shoot enough threes.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you can't.
Hence Alex, even though he's 16% 0 for 5 last night.
I do like the young guys, though, that they drafted. They all show some flashes, I think. I don't know what they finished with last night. George, Carrington, Sarr finished with, 12?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I like those guys, but it's just, you know, obviously we're light years away. Whatever. I'm trying to be happy. Yeah, put a happy face on it.
Carrington's like 19 or 20. Like the core is all like 20-year-olds. It's going to take time for those guys to develop. It's not going to happen in the 2024-2025 season.
Yeah. George is averaging.
Cakes Dawkins. I'm Cakes Dawkins over here.
Yeah. George is averaging 10 points a game. He's 20 years old.
Yep.
He knocked down a long three last night. He can knock down threes.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But I don't know if like these guys are, you know, you could put, I'm not saying anybody, but a lot of people could put up numbers in the NBA.
Well, you're pointing.
It's a matter of, are they going to be able to put up numbers on a winning team?
Mm-hmm. I think Carrington plays like a winner, the way he plays.
But the Caps, man, what happened? So I went to bed, it was 3-1.
Mm-hmm. Like the last 25 to 30 minutes, apparently, were just they just fell apart. And Carberry was pissed. He was salty. We have some of the audio of Coach Carberry after the show, after the loss to the Maple Leafs.
Spencer, where did this one go wrong for you guys?
Second half of the game, I thought... Yeah, not good at all. Embarrassing for that matter. The way that game played out, just embarrassing, flat out. I mean, that's unrecognizable from our team, playing a team on a back-to-back third period. The way that looked with a two-goal lead, embarrassing on home ice.
Too many mistakes there late, especially. I think those.
Yeah, are I'm not even going to get into all of the things that transpired and what you just watched, because they'll all be addressed and we'll all figure all those situations out. But I mean, it's just you saw it, you watched it.
Yeah.
Man, now, that's not going to be a fun film session today.
He didn't
want
to hear about it.
I think he might be upset at the refs, too, and maybe he's not saying it. Because I woke up, and I was like, wow, how the hell did the Caps lose? And I saw on Twitter, Grant Paulson was upset that there was a 6-on-4 power play. Mm-hmm. And that's one of their goals that they scored, was 6-on-4 with 47 seconds left. So maybe he thought there was a bad call.
And there was also like a garbage goalie interference call that took a goal away from the Caps.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but that, I'll just say this. I'm glad we had carbs before the game. I'm glad we had him in the morning before that game transpired.
So that's Logan Thompson's first loss.
Yeah, Logan Thompson.
He was
takes the
perfect
L.
7-0. And interestingly, remember they were doing the alternating. I believe Logan started back-to-back games for him.
Ooh, look at that.
Well, if you're on a heater, I don't know, and you're still fresh, put him in there. Who knows? If goalies are weird, man, you never know what you're going to get year to year. You think you got one guy as your stud, and midway through the season, you're using a totally different guy. But whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the Caps traded for Darcy Kuemper. They thought he's going to be the guy long term, and now he's playing for the LA Kings.
I'm going to see if I'm going to try to watch some of the replay and see if I can notice any chilling. Like if it's noticeable to a guy like me,
right?
An average guy.
Oh, you know what? We can talk to Nick Dowd about it later because he's going to join us at 8:25. So he probably won't be in the best of moods, but he seems to be a generally chipper guy. So we'll talk to Nick Dowd coming up at 8:25. Brian Baldinger is on the show at 7:20. We'll talk NFL with him. We'll preview Commanders Eagles, which is tonight, which is about 13 hours away. Dave Richard joins us at 8 to give you fantasy football advice. And Elliot Shore Parks, who covers the Eagles for WIP in Philly, he'll be on the show at 9 o'clock. Busy open line Thursday here with the Junks.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Burgundy and Gold Game Day on the Fan, presented by Rood. Is your cooling system letting you down? Score a touchdown with Rood and experience peak performance. Dominate the season with unmatched cooling power and visit RUUD.com. If it ain't Rood, it ain't right. So I just wanted to clear something up from yesterday's show that we talked about when we were talking about dogs and they're like being named after their owners, because my next door neighbor's name is Kevin. And he has a dog named Kevin. And there was definitely some goofing going on about that. So I got a text from his wife, Eileen, yesterday. Mm. And she explained it. She said, John, I mean, she's one of the people that actually uses my real name instead of my goofball radio name. Kevin was already named when we rescued him. He was named by his foster family. So they inherited a dog named Kevin and decided not to change his name.
Right.
So there you go. There you have it.
I didn't know there was that much controversy that we needed to clear it up today.
No. But we were kind of goofy. We were like, who has a man named Kevin in the house, and then you name the dog the same name?
Right.
Would cause a lot of confusion.
I'm impressed
generally.
That Kevin and his wife listen to the show.
Hey, me too.
Can you change? How long would it take to change a dog's name? Or would it totally just brain F the dog?
I mean, sure it'd pick up on it after a while.
Really?
Yeah, people do that with rescues.
They changed the name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would think that they might, but how long do you think it would take? It, like,
I don't
honestly
know. I don't know how long Kevin had been fostered by his foster family. I have no idea. Generally, it's short term, so I don't know.
Right. Right. All right. I'm just asking.
But I still have a neighbor named Kevin and a dog named Kevin. So it's
you weren't
just
wrong.
The dynamic.
No apology needed. You weren't wrong.
No. I'm just clearing things up a little bit.
Yeah.
I felt like they were getting goofed on a little bit while jumping off the top rope. So I wanted now, to.
I was more goofing on the fact that you actually threw out the last name for a dog.
Yeah.
When you were talking about Kirk Herbstreit's dog.
I only did that because
I called it Ben Herbstreit.
I saw him referred to on the Twitters as Ben Herbstreit.
In defense of Cakes, if you go to the vet, they'll put Oakley Cahill.
I understand. Right. We talked about that, but that's
but
how
that's
they.
That's like a unique situation.
That's like it's like it's a patient.
They got 100 dogs in there. Right. Yeah, you're trying to ID the right dog. There might be six, you know, spikes in there.
I felt bad for Winnie. I felt bad for Winnie Allville because I took her to the vet a couple days ago. They had to take her temperature.
Right.
And I mean, you don't
what do? They go where the sun don't shine.
Yeah. I mean, you don't take a dog's temperature in its mouth.
It might feel good.
It would eat the thermometer. Like it just doesn't. It doesn't know. So they had to put the. They had to put the gel on it and
right up the old the chute.
I mean, she wasn't super happy, but I mean, right. She just had to sit there and take it.
Was he healthy?
Pretty healthy, yeah. Yeah. Good report card.
Right.
Yeah. Solid.
So Jason's away and he's doing this long, I don't even care. He can do whatever he wants. He's doing some long wraparound vacation. He'll come back in a month whenever he comes back.
Apparently he's coming back December 2nd.
Sounds
kudos
like
to him.
Solid. God bless. So he's going where? To South Carolina, he
South
said?
Carolina,
he's
yeah.
He's going to some island I've never
Daniel
heard of.
Daniel Island.
I actually had never heard of it.
Here's what it is. It's a foofy made-up place, like developed. You know, like it's.
Do you have to take like a boat to get there?
No, or? I don't think so. I think it's just.
It's not like Bald Head Island.
There are a lot of barrier islands that are close to Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this even categorizes as that. I think it's just. A fancy made up place by like a rich.
Well, like, you know, we went to Bald Head Island together. Bald Head Island, you actually had to take a ferry.
Yeah.
To get my 20-year-old incident.
Yeah, we'll stick with allegedlys on that.
Yeah. All right. So does he, I guess he brings his dog on vacation? He brings Luca?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
He probably does.
He might.
Is he doing an Airbnb? Is he doing a hotel?
I have no idea.
Yeah. All right. Just curious.
Hmm.
Just curious what you dog owners do.
Well, I mean, for instance, because the Commanders aren't playing this weekend, the weekend's wide open, I booked a quick trip to Dewey Beach for the weekend.
You did.
For Friday and Saturday
night.
Look
at Cakes getting out of his
box.
And
bringing Winnie.
You are.
Bringing Winnie, yeah.
Where did you book? You booked an Airbnb joint?
Yeah.
How much are they charging you per night? It's got to be nothing now, right?
I mean, it's...
A couple hundred a night.
It's oceanfront. So it's nice.
All right, so $300 a night. It's the winter.
With the cleaning fee and the Airbnb fee, it's a little pricier than
that. Really?
Yeah.
Right. Whole crew going or is just you and
my wife and I and Winnie Allville and my son and his girlfriend are meeting up with us at some point too.
What about like your lizard or your sugar glider?
No lizards. The only other pet is a turtle, and
the turtle stays at home.
He's fine. Yeah, you can't. I mean, you get a pack of turtles.
I've told you. People have told me. I remember this lady at we took my kid to some birthday party, whatever. It like one of those places where you pet snakes and you know.
Sure.
I mean? And she said the turtle. Actually, it was a guy. He said. Turtle, worst pet you could ever get. First of all, it doesn't care about you. Doesn't react to you. It's going to live to 200.
It's very low maintenance, though.
It can't do anything.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's like...
I mean, you clean its tank. You give it, you know, fresh water every month
or so. You're
going
to get no love. You're going to get no attention from that turtle.
It just swims around and looks at you, and you know in its primitive reptile brain, it's thinking, can you just let me out of this cage? Can you take me now to the local pond and drop me off, please?
Did I tell you?
100%, that's what they're thinking.
I think I told you this story. So when we were in Chinatown, when my son moved into it, you know, he's staying in a rent-controlled apartment in Chinatown. It's part of my...
Tiny rent-controlled apartment?
My wife's family.
Right.
Okay? And one of my wife's, I think it's her cousin or aunt, I'm not sure. She's a hairdresser.
Okay.
Okay? And she owns a little piece of a salon. And we went into the hairdresser salon. And in Chinatown, they have, like, you know, those five-gallon buckets? Like you know, like you would have lacrosse balls in. Or,
sure.
Or, you know what I mean?
Like a Home Depot bucket.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a turtle in there in the salon. It was like a pet turtle.
That was its home?
Yes.
I mean, usually if you have a turtle, you've got, like, a terrarium or an aquarium.
It looked like maybe the most inhumane thing I've ever seen. Now, I don't care about the turtle.
Did they even have water in there?
A little bit of water. Okay. Maybe like a little romaine lettuce or something in there. Yeah. I mean, like, unbelievable. And I don't know if they let the turtle out and roam around. I don't know what they do.
I have no idea.
But then when you go and get your hair did over there, you could go say hi to the turtle.
There's not a lot of letting the turtle out in our house. It basically gets out of its aquarium when we have to change the water in the aquarium.
Does it have big?
That's it.
Does it have big turtle doo-doos?
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't pay that close attention to the turtle. I kind of just look at it, make sure it has enough food every once in a while. My wife and daughter, they take much more care of it than I do.
Right. All right. I gotcha.
I'd consider a turtle and a lot of pets, if you call it a pet,
yeah,
it's in the fish category.
Very much in the fish category.
You just give them a little food. They're in the aquarium.
Yeah.
And you don't really spend much time with it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, we still have a turtle. It's going to be here when we're dead, most likely.
I'd imagine a hamster is similar.
Well, a hamster, they don't live as long.
I know, but you feed it, you look at it, but you're not really petting.
Yeah, you're not that into it.
We get 4 or 5 fish a year. That's about how long. Because we'll get 5 fish, you know, in a couple months we'll be down to 4. Mm-hmm. A few months after that, I'll be down to 3.
Right.
End of the year, we'll have 1 sickly fish.
Yeah, it's just barely swimming.
Then we get 5 more, and it's just rinse and repeat.
Right.
We just slowly slaughter the fish.
Yeah. I mean, fish, I mean, they're not expected to live long lives, are they?
I don't know.
I don't think.
I mean, I would think our fish like our little tank. It's colorful. Mm-hmm. They got a little thing to go swim underneath and hide in.
They have a scuba guy that makes bubbles. They have that.
I don't know. What is that?
Do you think they have any knowledge?
Like a decoration.
Yeah. Maybe, though. They don't have knowledge of other tanks. That's their whole life. Yeah. They're not appreciative. Wow, this is a colorful tank compared to others.
In the aquarium where you buy it.
Yeah, but their home tank, they have to share with a lot of other fish.
Yeah, usually it might be 100.
Now they have exclusivity. They only have to share their tank or whatever it is, bowl, whatever you're keeping them in, with 4 or 5 other fish.
We have a little tank. A
tiny aquarium.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this the other day. I haven't been to the movie theaters in a while, but I'm kind of fired up to see Gladiator 2.
Yeah.
Okay. I am not the Gladiator mark that Jason and John are.
Oh, I love that
Cakes
movie.
Cakes knows movie. Every scene probably Gladiator.
I watched about 15 to 18 minutes of it two nights ago. The part where where Commodus kills the Emperor and then he asks for Maximus's hand and he wants, you know, to partner up with him. And then Maximus storms by him, says there's been a coup, the Emperor's been slain, and then they ride him out to wherever and they're supposed to execute him. And of course they don't because he's Maximus. He kills everybody. Goes back to find that his wife and son have been slaughtered by the Roman army. I watched that portion of Gladiator.
See, I couldn't do what Cakes just did. He knows all this. I just remember seeing it and liking it. And Russell Crowe's excellent in it. And so Denzel Washington is going to be in this one.
Yes, correct.
Which is intriguing. I don't know.
Is Russell Crowe in this one?
Is this a prequel?
Russell Crowe is not in this one.
Is it a prequel? Is it a post?
I don't know what kind of quell it is.
Right.
I have no idea. All I know is they're going to take my money because I am going to probably go see it in the theater.
Yeah,
as well.
I think it's the next theater.
Is it Ridley Scott, same director or whatever?
Believe so. You would have to ask Kevin to confirm that.
Yeah.
I do not know that.
All right. What are the early words on it?
Like, I don't know.
People
like Pedro Pascal portrays the son of Maximus.
All right. And so.
You know, that means nothing to you, but that means he's Russell Crowe's son.
Right, nice. That's what I thought.
Okay,
so it's a sequel, not a prequel.
So Denzel is Russell's son?
No. They're a different race.
Are you okay? No, that's why it didn't make sense.
Unless there's an adoption,
right? No. So who does Denzel play then?
The Emperor.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Now Denzel Drabby was telling me a funny bit. I guess he was doing an interview. First of all, he's saying he's going to retire soon. Is that it?
Yeah, but he had to clarify it because people went nuts. And he said, well, I'm not really retiring. Like, pick a date and I'm done. I just want to work with people I'm interested in working with. So he's going to be a little more choosy.
So it sounds like here's his list of movies he's planning to work on. Spike Lee's High and Low. I have no idea what that's about. Antoine Fuqua's Hannibal. Now, I got excited about that because I thought that was going to be in the
Hannibal Lecter.
Hannibal Lecter universe. It's not. It's about the ancient warrior Hannibal who fought in like the Roman and Punic Wars. And I said, not as interested. Mm. I'm more interested in Hannibal Lecter, but I'm sure it'll be good. Untitled Steve McQueen Project. Who knows what that is? Black Panther 3 and an Othello adaptation.
Man, I'm interested in none of those. Those are all done. He could retire now for all I care. That's what he's gonna. That's all he's gonna work on.
He's doing an Othello Bushareb adaptation. I'm impressed. Othello's going places.
Guy used to bring in hummus to work every day.
Exactly.
And he
the hummus bit.
Play like a alcoholic ex cop or something that's trying to get a girl back who's been kidnapped.
Right. He can't play an alcoholic pilot where he's drinking an entire fifth of vodka before he takes the controls.
Hey, can we tell the nugget that you you told us before the show?
Oh, about the kiss?
Yeah. You can relate to this.
It's in the headlines everywhere. It says, Gladiator 2 cut gay Denzel Washington kiss from the movie.
So can you imagine if you're Denzel, and I assume Denzel's a pure, you know, strong heterosexual, but he's a professional. I guess they have him, they ask him, he's got to do this this kiss another dude scene.
I think back in the Roman Emperor days, the sexuality was a lot more fluid.
Was it? Oh, I had no idea.
I mean, trust me, I don't know that for a fact.
That's your instinct?
But from watching Gladiator 100 times, it's kind of the vibe that I get.
Well, can you imagine that you're Denzel and you gotta kiss a dude in the scene, and you know it might not be the thing you're the most comfortable with. And then they cut it from the
right,
movie.
Right, you like you better put that back in the movie.
I seriously think I'd slit the director's throat.
I actually kissed a man in the film, but they took it out. They cut it. I think they got chicken. I kissed a guy full on the lips. I guess they weren't ready for that yet. I killed him 5 minutes later. It's Gladiator, the kiss of death.
I like him calling them chickens. That's a good one.
Hey, it didn't seem like he's too upset about it.
He's 69 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't he retire? He's got millions.
The guy's got so much money. He just can enjoy his life.
It's probably only so much golf he can play. Like, you know.
But I respect you. He's like, you know what? I'm at the point now where I'm just picking my spots. I'm going to work with who I want to work with, and I'll work on my schedule, and the rest of you guys can go F yourselves. It's pretty much what he's saying. Good for him.
Must be nice.
It must be nice to have the hammer all the time. God. I wouldn't know what that feels like.
I just want FU money.
I just want the hammer once.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah.
Hasn't Denzel been picking his spots for the last 30 years? Why would he listen to anybody to tell him what to do? Denzel Washington.
His list just might have gotten shorter.
He's on the Mount Sillymore of actors.
Well, I think he has done some duds, or done some like stupid commercial movies, right? I'm sure. So maybe he's just trying to eliminate those.
The paycheck ones?
The paycheck movies. The Nick Cage type movies.
What's his paycheck movies? Because they've all been kind of silly.
Have they? Okay. You would know better than me.
Valdez says he doesn't understand Training Day. He swore me to secrecy.
I've always thought Training Day is a little overrated, personally. I know people rave about
it. It's too confusing.
Well, I don't get it. Do they want Ethan Hawke to be in their crew? Do they not want him to be in their crew? Or who are they stealing from?
I
think he wanted Ethan Hawke to be in his crew, but Ethan Hawke battled had a battle of conscience.
Did that movie win? That it didn't win Academy Award.
No, but Denzel won Best Actor for it.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know how you guys still remember plots from movies 25 years ago.
Because they're seared into our brains.
It had that much of an impact on you?
We just have a memory.
I mean, you remember the Hoop Dreams.
That's like the only movie. It's like the only movie. Most movies just don't have that impact on me. Like, I saw Star Wars when I was a kid. I don't really even remember it.
Give me the plot synopsis of the Pelican Brief.
I don't really remember.
Yeah, that's a Denzel movie. Yeah.
I like that one. I just like the da-na-na-na, da-na-na.
Give me the plot outline scenes for My Cousin Vinny.
No idea. I don't remember.
Big movies that he might relate to. I guess there are none.
I just don't really.
That was a weird one. You went from Pelican Brief, which he's talked about, to My Cousin Vinny.
I'll tell you why.
Because you were thinking courtroom drama.
That was part of it. I also saw like 20 seconds of it in the studio.
But like, I remember
watching it yesterday.
I loved Rain Man, right? Very popular movie.
Yeah.
I don't really remember it.
461 toothpicks.
Yeah. I mean, I remember like that little isolated moment.
Bet you remember a few good men.
One bad, too good. One bad, too good.
What does that mean?
That's what Dustin Hoffman bets for his brother Charlie in the casino. Mm. One, if it's bad, if the count's bad. Two, if the count's good. You want to bet one chip or two chips?
Rom Man.
Mm. Yeah, I don't even remember that.
I know, but it's not like I watched Rain Man yesterday.
No, I know, but it had an impact on you.
It has zero impact on me.
You remember it.
Well, I can remember stuff.
You have too many swing thoughts in your brain.
Yeah.
How do you have room for the Rain Man plot?
I don't know. I brought up something yesterday.
Charlie Babbitt.
I brought up something yesterday.
10 minutes to Wapner.
I brought up something yesterday that Drabby was amazed that he said, how do you know that?
And the Old Spice guy.
Yeah.
That he played college basketball.
No. He played in the NFL.
Or college football,
He had a cup of coffee in the NFL. And nailed it. That's the kind of stuff I remember.
Okay.
All right, lines from a movie.
Coming up a bit later, we'll hit the Skins at 7. Brian Baldinger will join us at 7:20. And Dave Richard, he'll answer all of your important fantasy football questions coming up at 8 o'clock on an Open Line Thursday here on The Fan. So I guess I owe EB two Venmo dollars because it looks like Brian Robinson is a go tonight.
Look at that.
And by the way, Burgundy and Gold Game Day on The Fan is presented by Rood. Is your cooling system letting you down? Score a touchdown with Rood and experience peak performance. Dominate the season with unmatched cooling power and visit RUUD.com online. If it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
It's big.
So I'll be sending you two Venmo dollars at some point today, Evie.
Thank you.
I will make you whole with that bet.
I need it because I spent a boatload of it on a driver the other day.
You're outlaying a lot of cash on drivers and training aids and putters.
Yes.
And a lot of expenditures on the golf game.
What else am I going to do? They got a few years left here, maybe. I'm going to die. I mean, you know.
Might as well enjoy your last few years.
Yeah.
Enjoy them.
Yeah.
Go out, just like Denzel, go out on your own terms.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though he's many years older than you.
What is he, 69, you said?
69 years old.
He looks good.
15 years older.
He arguably looks much better than me. 15 years older.
So Brian Robinson's played 3 times against Philadelphia, has had pretty good success. If you look at the last time he played them, what did he rush for? I guess he's got 50 carries for 190 yards, 2 touchdowns in 3 games. I mean, not great.
Decent. What, about 3.9 yards per carry, something like that? No, it's good.
But he had 2 touchdowns in the last game.
But he gives them the workhorse that they've been missing.
It's just a stud.
Like I'm reading the wrong category.
You
not
can't
two
give
touchdowns.
Eckler the ball. You can't let him rush the ball 12 or 15 times. He's just not designed for that at this point in his career.
B-Rob is
you
just
don't want to give the ball that many times
runner.
To either McNichols or Rodriguez. Like, the guy to give the ball 15 times to is Brian Robinson Jr.
Yeah.
And they've been missing that. And I think that's a big addition for them tonight. They're going to need that.
I think they're going to have him back. I think they're going to have Wiley back. I'm not sure about Lucas. I don't think they're going to have Seibert. There's that special teams guy they're not going to have. And there's one other guy they're definitely not going to have. I can't remember who it is. Seibert's definitely out, though.
It's kind of a defining game for them. If they're able to win tonight, then you can legitimately say they're a contender to get to the NFC Championship. If they lose, I think you're going to probably elevate Philadelphia into the Detroit class and kind of feel like they're the top two favorites, which probably they were the top two favorites going into the season. And then Washington's going to be in the class with the rest of the teams.
Which is probably fair.
Yeah.
We probably shouldn't be at the top of the NFC East. We probably shouldn't be competing for an NFC championship spot.
Certainly wasn't expected, but if they do compete tonight, and I think you get Brian Robinson back and you get Jaden running again, then you have the element to keep that offense going.
He looked perfectly healthy. I don't know what he was referring to, but if you saw J.P. Finley's Twitter account yesterday, he posted a video of Jaden on the field, and he was he was goofing around. He hit that net far away.
Yeah, I think he said, "I'm back."
He said, "I'm back," and he said, "Y'all were talking S."
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who he was referring to.
I think
everybody's been super supportive of the kid. And then he's like running around like a jet plane. He looked butt healthy. He didn't look like he had a worry in the world.
Yeah.
So I expect him to have a bounce back game for sure. Like, you know, I thought his game was a B minus C plus last weekend for a variety of reasons.
Seems like the books are expecting a shootout in Philadelphia because the Eagles implied team total is 26, Commanders 23.
Yeah,
expecting both teams to score.
But how many points are the Eagles giving up per game? Is it like 19 or am I wrong? Why is that?
I'd have to look up. I don't have that. So I can pull it up. But
yeah, for some reason that's in my brain.
You know what? This is their first real opponent outside of the Bengals in their 5-game winning streak. Go look at who else the Eagles have beaten in that 5-game winning streak. I defy you to name a good team out of the five outside of Cincinnati.
Well, it's similar because they're in the same division, so they play the same out-of-conference teams.
Right.
They give up 18 points per game, 17.9. Right. So, I mean, they're relatively stingy defensively. I don't know.
I just feel
but
like...
But you just faced a team that had a similar defensive resume in the Pittsburgh Steelers in terms of points per game, and you managed to score 27.
I know, even better, which is encouraging. That's why I got a lot of encouragement from that game, even though, you know, we ended up on the wrong side of it. Could have gone either way. I don't know. I think it's going to be a very, very challenging game for the guys tonight. They certainly can win. If you put a gun to my head, I would probably place my money on Philly just because they have a higher pedigree.
I'm just really curious to see if the defensive line can hold up against Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts running. I think Washington... Their offense has proven, even against really stout defenses, saw it against Cleveland. Remember when Cleveland was hyped up defensively?
Mm-hmm.
Saw it against the Ravens. Now the Ravens defense, because their secondary is not ranked super high. And then saw it this past week that Washington put up points. But I don't know if they're going to be able to slow down Philly.
Just think about how much...
You don't have Lattimore back yet.
Right. He won't play.
So... They're looking at the film going, well, we're seeing what everybody does against St. Juiced and the rest of these guys. Why wouldn't we do it? I was watching one of these analysts, and they were saying, look, Pittsburgh attempted 8 go balls against Washington.
Right.
They only hit on 2. Now, the 2 were big.
They were pretty important.
All right, the one to Mike Williams, but they attempted 8. What does that tell you? That they're looking at the film saying, this works against this team.
Sure.
And that's a low percentage throw.
Right.
But... Philadelphia is going to look at the same film and say, there are opportunities here on go balls, on taking deep shots, and A.J. Brown's had success against Washington. Mm-hmm. So you got to worry about that, but you got to worry about Saquon too. Because at times, this defense has looked better against the run. I thought they looked better against the run against Pittsburgh. Even though Pittsburgh had a bunch of yards, they had a ton of carries.
Well, they carried the ball, I think, 40-plus times
right.
in that game.
I thought that the defensive line actually did a pretty good job against the run last week, but there have been games, we know this, throughout the season where teams have gouged them with the run.
And I would expect the same thing to come from Philly with Barkley and Hurts.
The thing is, and this is why my opinion of Saquon isn't as high as like Jason. Like, I think Saquon on paper is a freak, as good as anybody in the league. But against us, he's not like he's been incredible. He's had 2 monster games, okay, early on. But he's had games where he's had 38 yards, 57 yards, 30 yards, 63, 87, 77. Last time he played, it's 83. I mean, you know, they're kind of run-of-the-mill. Those are kind of like Brian Robinson numbers
at times.
But
here's the difference. He's in a much better offensive environment and a much better offensive line blocking for him.
And he got a better
in
quarterback.
Philly than he did in all of those matchups with the Giants.
I agree. And a better
That's
quarterback.
Scary.
And Jalen, when you look at Jalen's numbers against us, like in his last 4,
mm-hmm.
pretty impressive. He 319 yards, 4 touchdowns. That's the last time we played him. The first time we played him last year, 319 yards again, 2 touchdowns. 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns. His last 4 games against us, he's had 6, 10, 13 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's just passing. I don't even have his rushing numbers.
And there are a lot of those, too. Don't forget, coming up later on the show on an Open Line Thursday, Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider. He'll join us at 7:20. And get your fantasy questions ready for Dave Richard. He'll join the show at 8 o'clock because Week 11 starts tonight as the Commanders take on the Eagles in primetime.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between with 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack. You'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards Need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5HourEnergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.